Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here at Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Graham Ewing. Graham, how are you tonight?
Doing well.
That's good. Good to have you tonight.
Great to be back.
And we're on an open show, and Graham's going to be answering all your questions tonight.
Yep,
anything you want to.
Taking a vacation.
I'm just going to sit back and watch my main understudy here go at it and answer all these questions tonight. 410-922-6680, if you want to call in tonight, is an open show. An open show. You get to call in and direct the conversation. Maybe you want to talk about income taxes. Like I was talking to Sean this morning. I was talking to Sean about the Maryland income tax situation. It's just a disaster. And I can't imagine that the legislatures can sit down there in Annapolis and hold their head high thinking, boy, we really did a great service to the Maryland citizens who used to itemize deductions and now can't. But there are little tricks you have to pull to make sure that you don't overpay the Maryland income tax. And, so you just have to be careful. I think there are going to be a lot of returns that are filed where people are going to overpay their Maryland income tax because they don't know and their accountants aren't doing the necessary audits to make sure that all opportunities are considered mm-hmm. before that taxpayer files that tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, I've seen many tax softwares that aren't handling the Maryland itemization, even if you do itemize correctly. And so that's another problem. I know when we first got our tax program and back at the beginning of February, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm saying, this is totally wrong. This isn't even close to right. And we had to go back, and we're dealing with the number one software for tax preparation in the United States, used by the biggest CPA firms in America. And they didn't even have it close to right.
Still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, they got it right now. I think in the last week or so, we've seen the returns are now coming through properly the way they should. And but it's a problem. And so anyway, tonight, though, you get to ask any question you want, be it about investments, be it about the insurances, be it about elder care law, be it about estate planning, income taxes, any kind of insurance, auto, home, life, long-term care. That's a topic we haven't talked about much, but we should. I think we have a guest coming on sometime in the next few months dealing with long-term care. So you can let us know what you want to talk about. You get to direct the conversation. And our phone number here is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and to direct the conversation tonight, we're going to go to Mike in Finksburg. Mike, how can we help you?
What I need to know is I need to find a reputable company to buy silver or gold.
You want to buy physical silver and physical gold. Is that correct?
Yes, physical silver and gold. Yeah.
Well, why?
Well, because I feel that that's going to be I think they're going to change the currency. I really do. I really do feel that way.
When you say change the currency, what do you mean by that?
Well, every other country is going back to the gold and silver. The only country that hasn't done it is the United States.
What countries went back to gold and silver?
Italy.
No, they didn't. They're on the euro. And the euro has no gold and silver backing it. That's not true. But go ahead and tell me another country.
China and Russia are grabbing up all the gold and silver they can.
China is not. Their currency is not backed by gold and silver, and they aren't buying huge amounts of gold and silver. But
what about Russia?
No, they're not buying huge amounts of gold and silver, and they're not backed. Their currency is not backed by gold and silver. I don't know of any countries that have gone back to gold and silver. I think you're looking to buy something that I think you're dealing on false pretense on.
You think so?
Yes, sir. I don't want to offend you, But I think
you're not offending me. I want the education.
I'm telling you that there are no countries in the world that I know of, right off the bat. I may be wrong. I'm sure there's some obscure country out there that's doing it, that has implemented the gold or silver standard since 19 whatever, you know, maybe 30, I think was probably the last time somebody implemented.
Okay. Well, this is where I'm going by, and this is what I'm saying.
Are you reading things from companies like Aurora?
No, nothing like that. What I seen myself before 2000, before the 2001
right. Okay.
downturn in the stock market, I seen them buying. I go buy commercials and stuff like that. What the trends are in my mind, and I see them buying a lot of bullion. They want you to send in your jewelry and all that, and they did it again right before the 2007-2008 crash, and I see them advertising a lot to buy bullion again, and I feel that if they're buying it, I want to buy it.
Now, well, you know, I think you're going to find that it's not going to prove to be a great investment. If you really like gold and silver, your best bet, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, is to buy silver ETF, SLV, or GLD, where you own a share of a multi-million dollar vault of gold and silver bars up in New York. That way you don't have to store it. That way you don't have to pay the commissions to buy the gold and the silver. And if gold goes up, it'll go up accordingly. If silver goes up, it'll go up accordingly. But if you buy physical gold and physical silver, you're going to have to store it safely. You're going to pay a 10% minimum commission getting into it. In other words, you're going to overpay for it by 10%. When you sell it, you're going to pay another 10% on the way out. So if you buy SLV and GLD in the stock market and in what's called an exchange-traded fund, you can buy the gold and silver pretty much at spot price right now with a minor differential, and they'll hold it for you, and you'll own your piece of it, and you'll make your exact proportionate increase in the price of gold and silver with owning something like that. That's just my opinion. Yeah. That's
now,
the way I would do it. Yeah.
Okay, can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead.
Now, if I did that, isn't that the same as the dollar if the dollar ever does fall and people have no faith in the dollar again?
No, because if the dollar falls and gold goes up to $50,000 an ounce, let's say, this ETF will go up to $50,000 an ounce, and it'll be in dollars, but it'll be the exact same thing as if you own a bar of gold and you went somewhere to cash it in to get the money to do something with it here in the United States. Because you can't take a piece of gold. You can't take a piece of gold down to the store and scratch off some gold dust into somebody's hand, can you?
No.
Ultimately, you have to turn it into dollars.
Well, what I know is during the Depression, the people that had the gold and silver, they could pretty much buy anything they wanted if there was a very bad turn.
That may be true, but they had to turn it into dollars.
We don't have depressions now. We have recessions, and they play around with the money and flood the market.
During the Great Depression, FDR said you can't hold gold anymore, but people were hiding it. But what they did is they took the gold out and they went to the black market and they exchanged it to dollars. When they exchanged it to dollars, then they went and bought what they wanted to buy. So, you know, again, SLV and GLD is your best bet, in my opinion. I would not encourage you to buy physical gold and silver. That's just my opinion.
Give me that number, them letters again. FLG.
Sam Larry Victor, SLV, that's silver, and GLD, George Larry Donald, that's gold.
And those, you buy them from any
brokerage firm, T. Rowe Price, Schwab, Fidelity, they can all buy those for you. All right? I got to run.
Okay.
Good question. Excellent question. I got to run to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Graham Ewing, one of the young associates from the company. And it's always a great pleasure to have you. And you're taking your final exams for this semester soon, right?
Final exam was last night. Good news is I passed, and it was a tax class.
You already know.
I already know.
What happened to the good old days when you used to go to class and about 3 or 4 weeks later, the teacher would tell you how you did?
Well, technology has come a long way.
What are you trying to tell me there, Graham?
Nothing at all.
I think I set you up for that one. But anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, and lead the conversation any way you want. I do have one caller online. I'll be with you in a second. But if you want to hear a topic that's near and dear to you, like Mike talked about on gold, you can feel free to call in 410-922-6680. We're going to Bob in Lutherville. Bob, how can we help you?
Yes, I listen quite often. And in my business, I'm an outside sales rep. And I was very concerned about how the taxes are. Everybody keeps talking about it. They can't use a lot of the stuff my accountant usually uses. One of the things I know she does save me some money, and so I don't have to pay as much taxes. I think it's called a 2106 for mileage, and it's up to, what, 58, 57 cents a mile?
Right.
And also, but
that's sort of gone now.
What's that?
That's sort of gone now, sort of.
Well, that's what I'm very concerned about. That's going to make a huge difference. And I don't remember my company doing anything too much. I mean, I haven't claimed exemptions. I'm 68, 69 this year. And we don't have much in the way of write-off for kids. Our combined income, wife and myself, is about 170, 165. But I still, between that write-off and I have a place in the ocean that we, a second home that we do have some rental income that we were depreciating and had some write-offs. Are they not acceptable either? I mean, what write-offs do we have?
No, the rental home is still the same. As a matter of fact, there's good news on the rental home. Do you make a profit on the rental home?
No, it's pretty much a wash.
Okay.
We depreciate. We only get about maybe $22,000 to $2,500 a year, and the deductions more than take care of that.
Okay. So the rental properties, all the deductions are still apply. It's the employee business expenses that has been removed from the tax code under the new tax
Even
law.
Mileage,
mileage, everything. If it's an employee business expense, there's no deduction for it. But there are two potential answers, Bob. Potential answer number one is you go to your employer and you say to your employer, "Hey, look, I can no longer write off the mileage that I drive for your business. I can no longer write off the entertaining of your clients. I can no longer."
Right.
So that's costing me 20 to 30 cents. That's all you were saving is about 20 to 30 cents for those write-offs. So you could go to your employer and say, "Why don't you think about giving me an allowance that I can spend on things?"
That's a great idea, and I've already considered doing that now that I've heard this, but that doesn't compensate. I mean, that doesn't help me one bit for this year.
Okay, I'll give you an answer for this year, and this is only a remote possibility. You're going to have to talk to your accountant about this, and it all depends on what type of salesperson you are. But there is a possibility where some salespeople, instead of writing off their expenses on Schedule A, which is itemized deductions, for miscellaneous itemized deductions, you can actually, even though you're a salaried employee, take those expenses.
I'm not salaried, I'm commissioned.
Well, but you still get, okay, you're commissioned, but your commission comes through as a W-2 income.
Yeah.
right? They take out the taxes.
I still get it. A 1099 is for guys that do quarterlies, which are independent contractors, correct?
Are you an independent contractor?
No, I still get a paycheck on a basis, so I wouldn't be using a 1099 then, correct? They're the only ones that can use this mileage write-off?
Well, yes, but what I'm trying to say is if you get a paycheck, okay, and you're not getting a 1099, right?
No, I get a twice-a-month pay, right?
You get a twice-a-month pay, and they take it out. There is still some substantiation for people who get a paycheck and are salespeople where you can take the deduction on Schedule C, even though you're not a self-employed business person. The IRS is a
Schedule C. I didn't hear you. I'm on a cell phone. Did you say Schedule C instead of A?
Right. It's Schedule C as a deduction for you, but there are certain provisions you have to approve by. But the IRS has accepted some salaried, or I should call it payroll type salespeople, to be able to move their deductions over to Schedule C as opposed to Schedule A. And you're just going to have to go through the different types of court cases that the IRS has agreed on that would allow somebody like yourself to take your deductions, even though you have no income on Schedule C, but take your deductions on Schedule C. And I can't...
Just real quick question. What was the idea then for mid-range, middle-class people? How was it supposed to why do they keep talking about the tax cut? Are we supposed to get made up on another end of our tax form?
Well, yes.
More deductions lower tax rate?
You have to understand, Bob, that Bob might have got hurt, but maybe 52 other Bobs got a benefit out of it. And that's the problem with the tax law. The tax law should be fair for everybody. It shouldn't be one where you pass a law and all of a sudden Bob gets smashed because he no longer can do this and that, but everybody else walks away happy as a clam because they got a 5 or 6% reduction in their taxes. I'm telling you, I'm seeing about 80% of my clients walking away extremely happy and 20% of my clients saying, what kind of garbage is this? So it sounds like you're in the garbage thing.
To be the 80% that are very happy, do they make less money?
No, they made. I had a client just today. He made $30,000 more, and he paid $10,000 less in income taxes this year.
Was it the tax rate that made the difference?
It was a combination of things. He was in the alternative minimum tax last year. That's gone. He's on in a 3% lower tax bracket than they were the year before. And his itemized deductions were about equal to the standard deduction this year. So all in all, he walked away a very happy camper. I've had other
clients. I haven't gone to it because I was so anxious about, but maybe the other deductions and maybe
I think what you ought to see is, I think what you ought to, I wished I could remember right off the top of my head what exactly the characteristics are that would allow a salesperson to take your deductions on Schedule C instead of Schedule A, but you should talk to your accountant about it, and if she doesn't understand what I'm saying, then maybe you need another accountant, okay?
Okay.
But I think
I'm not saying she does or doesn't. I haven't been to her yet. But
I'm not saying. I'm just saying talk to him. And I'm not saying you can do it. There's probably somewhat of a remote chance you're going to be able to do it. But there is, for salespeople, there are some salespeople that can run their expenses through Schedule C, even though they're a W-2 employee. All right?
Appreciate your help and your time. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Yeah, this new tax law is an interesting one. So.
We had a client that drove 70,000 miles a year for their job, and he's losing all that. So what did he do? He retired.
That's a good answer, yeah. Unless the employer is willing to give him money for it, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, we got to take a pause. We're on an open show tonight. If you want to call in before we come back, now's the time to do it, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Right now, take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth here with Graham Ewing. Graham?
Hello,
how's
Drew.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah? You know that song?
No idea.
I don't have any idea either.
No idea.
So, you know, at least I have, you know, as opposed to Mr. Know-It-All, Chris O'Shea, who thinks he knows every song that's played, you know, and so forth. He's lucky that I don't try to compete with him on that issue. So, anyway, we're going to go to, we're on an open show tonight, first off, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And direct the conversation. I do have a couple people online, but there's plenty of time to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation. We're going to Rick in Ellicott City. Rick, how can we help you?
Yeah, Drew. For 2018, I worked for the first 3 months. I worked in South Carolina, paying South Carolina taxes, and the last 9 months in Maryland had those taxes deducted. I'm wondering how the tax paid to South Carolina is going to get treated for state purposes here in Maryland.
So the way you were in South Carolina for 3 months and then Maryland for the remaining 9 months.
Yeah, yes.
So the way you'll do that is you'll file a part year return in South Carolina and Maryland. South Carolina, you'll be a part year non-resident.
Okay.
So at the end of the year, you were not a resident of South Carolina, so your part-year return with them is an ending part-year return. So it's the first 3 months, and your income from there will be taxed to South Carolina, not to Maryland. And you can also move any income and capital gains and all those kind of things that took place in those first 3 months to South Carolina, which would be taxed cheaper than in Maryland.
Right.
But you have to be able to substantiate they were earned in those first 3 months before you moved to Maryland.
Right. Those don't apply to me. But
okay. And then the last 9 months, you'll file as a resident of Maryland for a part year that began April 1, 2018.
Okay. So the W-2 from South Carolina is going to go onto a South Carolina return. The W-2 from Maryland is just that information is going to go on that.
Well, you might see the total on both returns, but what should happen is the part year income should come out, and that's the only portion that will end up being taxed in South Carolina or in Maryland. And
gotcha.
Are you doing this yourself, or you got somebody that'll do it for you?
H&R Block tax.
Yeah, so
package.
They should handle it. The Tax Act should handle this. It's not a complicated thing. But make sure when you enter your W-2, you say SC for
right.
this one
yeah.
and MD for this one, and it should flow properly. And what you should see on the return is the final computation of tax should just be on the first 3 months for the SC income and the last 9 months for Maryland income.
Sounds
All right?
Good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Anyway, we're going to Ron in Perry Hall. Ron, how can we help you?
Oh, yes, sir. I was wondering, you may have run across this. I learned personally when I got a Roth IRA distribution living here in the People's Republic of Maryland. They actually take $50 out of that proceeds, and next to it, it's an ST. And I imagine that meant sales tax.
Tell me again, what did you hear that, Graham?
Yeah, taking $50 out of a Roth IRA distribution.
Who took the $50?
The state, I guess. Well, it was on my my company, you know, that I was investing with, the form, and it said ST Maryland $50. So I was a little shocked by it. So then I Googled it, and I think Michigan and Maryland may be the only two states that I guess they got their foot in the door on those taxes.
I'm not familiar with anything like that. So, Maryland tax on Roth IRAs?
Yeah, I was a little shocked by it myself.
Does Maryland tax Roth IRA distributions are generally not subject to state income withholding? It may not be. You know, I'm not familiar with it there, Ron. I'm not sure. You sure the company you're with isn't trying to make Maryland seem like they're the ones charging you, but actually they're charging you? Did you leave them? Did you take I'm not familiar with any fees from the state of Maryland for Roth distributions.
Yeah, technically, I guess you may be right there. I did leave them because what it was back in 1999, I either put $2,000 or $4,000 in Microsoft. So it got to be $52,000. So I said, hey, you know, I'm retired, so I'm going to go ahead and take it this year.
See, now, there you go. Were you with Merrill Lynch or Prudential?
Yeah, I was with that smaller one out in Kansas City. America First.
Never heard of them. But, you know, a lot of brokerage firms like this do charge a closing account fee of $50 to $100.
Mm-hmm.
And every account, if you have a Roth, they'll hit you $50 to $100. If you have an IRA, they'll hit you $50 to $100. If you close the account out, and whether you sell everything in your account, liquidate it or whatever, they'll take a charge from you. And I think it's criminal. That's one of the reasons we only work with Schwab, TD Ameritrade, and Fidelity, because they don't do that kind of garbage to people.
Yeah, I think it was American Century, now that I think about it.
Yeah, so, you know, you should go back to them and ask them, did you guys hit me with $50 when I closed my Roth IRA with you? And why'd you make me feel like it was the state of Maryland? I mean, they deserve to get beat up for lots of things, Ron, but stealing money from your Roth IRA isn't yet one of the things they're doing, all right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. We're going to Wayne in Severn. Wayne, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you might be able to tell me, on an IRA, a regular IRA, and you want to give what you have for the year of 2018, had given to a charitable organization, I've been told that you can deduct any portion of that IRA to any charitable organization, as long as you did not receive the monies, you know, to yourself. Do you have a special form that you have to fill out? I don't see anything on this new form that allows you to be able to do that. Let's say, for example, if you...
There's no special form. It's actually even better than that. You don't deduct the amount that you took out and you gave to charity from the IRA. It just doesn't show up on the tax return.
But you know as well as I do that when they send them as 1099-R, it's not going to reflect that.
Exactly.
So what you do, Wayne, is you go to your custodian and you say, who's your custodian? Schwab, Merrill Lynch, what?
You mean the bank?
Bank. Who's the bank? Yeah.
Arundel Federal.
You go to Arundel Federal and you say, hey, I want to give $5,000 of my required minimum distribution this year to my church. And they say, well, what's the name of your church, Wayne? And you say, well, my church is St. Joe. And you say, okay, here's a check made out payable to St. Joe. You had to take a $8,000 required minimum. Now, because you're giving this to St. Joe, you only have to take out three that you're going to pay taxes on. But next year, Arundel Federal is going to give you a 1099-R that said you took out $8,000 and you owe tax on $8,000. And then on your tax return, you say this $5,000 of this was a qualified charitable distribution that went directly to the church. And then you say, I only owe tax on three. And then these little letters come in on your tax return, says QCD. And now it's up to the IRS to question you as to whether or not you actually gave that $5,000 away. You need to have a charitable receipt, and you need to make sure that your church, your custodian, has the record that you did take this money and had a check payable to the church. That's how it works. Pretty straightforward.
And the key is you have to be 70 and a half.
Yeah, you have to. Absolutely. That's a great point, Graham. You have to be 70 and a half to do this. Not everybody can do it.
I wish there was 70 and a half.
Well, you can't do it yet, then. You got to wait.
No.
You wish you were only 70 and a half. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Well, good luck to you, Wayne. I hope that helped you.
Okay, so I don't need any special forms or anything.
No,
like
sir.
That.
If it says 8,000 total and you gave five, you just report three, and the little letters QCD come in there. That's all you have to do.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. We're going to go to Joe in Baltimore City. Oh, that was quick. That was good, wasn't it? Joe, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Drew. Here's my question. I have some rental properties. I have like four rental properties, right?
Okay.
This year, can I expense, like if I make an income off of it, is there like something in the law that I can expense some of that income? You started to mention that to one of the other callers.
You could take your property taxes off of your rental income, even if you get a loss. You could take the loss,
I know that. But if you have an income, let's say I make $10,000, off of the rental incomes, okay? I have a net income of $10,000. Can I expense that? Is there something? I thought I saw something on the, you know, on the tax form that I could expense that.
Oh, you're going to have to hold with me. That's a little more complicated question. I got to take a pause real quick. Can you hold for me until I come back?
Sure.
All right, hold on. I know what he's talking about now. Go ahead, take it away, Traffic. I'm going to answer that when we come back.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That's not even a song, Chris. I don't even know what the heck that is. And it sounds like aliens are invading the Earth
UFOs.
Or something. We're going back to Joe in Baltimore City. Joe, here's the answer to your question. I think I know what you're talking about. So you make $10,000 on your rental properties. What you're referring to is the new 20% deduction for the $10,000 income that you're able to take off as a deduction on your tax return. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, am I allowed to do that?
Here's the answer to that. It's called qualified business income deduction, okay? And the answer to your question is not an easy one because the IRS has given us some guidance, but not a great amount of guidance. And here's the guidance. If you make a profit on those businesses, okay? Number 1, number two, you don't triple net lease them. In other words, you don't you still pay some of the expenses of running the properties, do you? Do you?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me get on. I got to run.
Yeah.
So, number three, you put 250 hours or people you hire put at least 250 hours a year into maintaining those properties. And number four, you don't use any of them at all for your personal reasons. And if all four of those are true, that's called a safe harbor that you probably can take the 20% QBI deduction for those properties. So instead of reporting $10,000 of income, you'll end up only reporting $8,000. But it's far more complicated than I just made it sound. There's what's your taxable income? Is it more than $315,000 if you're married or isn't it? If it's lower than $315,000 and all this kind of stuff, what's the building's worth? What kind of wages are you paying people? It's a ridiculously complicated thing. But the general answer is yes, your real estate may be qualified, especially if you answered yes to all those things that I talked about. All right?
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good question. I mean, it's a very complicated one. David in East Baltimore, how can we help you? David? Overseas property, David. David must have went back to his overseas property.
He must have. Hopefully it's warmer there.
I hope so. We'll go to Gene in Columbia then. Gene.
I'm sorry I haven't heard the show the last couple of weeks, or the first half of this. Did y'all hear what the Virginia State Legislature did? I heard something the last 2 days. They had set some money in their budget that they approved. And I heard it was $1 billion. Maybe I heard it wrong. But to help give a refund to taxpayers in the state who have been hit negatively by the new federal tax tax law.
You see anything on that, Graham? I'm not here.
No, not yet.
I haven't heard anything about it. You know, I'm not familiar with it at all.
So. Yeah, no, nobody had it on, and it is the last day of the legislature, but I never heard any details about it.
Or if they ever passed it even, right?
No, I heard it the final day of the budget, they passed it, and that's what it included.
I can't imagine that any state would put up that kind of sum of money to do anything for their citizens. I'm just skeptical that I am.
A billion wrong, but I heard something like, I just said, what was I going to ask you? Have you heard anything at all about this, about people that are going to be really heavily hit by this state, Maryland?
All I've heard them do is brag about how generous they were to help out all Marylanders, not just you greedy rich people that itemize your deductions.
As we all hold our noses.
A $4,500 standard deduction, right?
They raised it by $500 this year, Graham. Come on. And that helped everyone.
Everybody.
Even those 50% of people that aren't paying any taxes, just think of how much less they have to worry about paying taxes now. So, wow.
All right.
All right, Gene. Sorry I can't help you on that one. That's an interesting. We'll have to look into that, though. Right. Maybe we'll all move into Virginia. All right. Take care, Gene. Or maybe we could have Virginia next Maryland back, you know, because
maybe.
Maryland was broken away from Virginia. Did you know the whole story
about
that?
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, so when Virginia owned Maryland, right, the colony of Virginia back in the early 1600s was included Maryland. And Calvert was given Nova Scotia. Okay, which is way up in Canada. And that was the gift that King George, I believe, gave Calvert, who was a Catholic, to go to the new country, the new world, and form a colony of Catholics. Well, Calvert went to Nova Scotia and went back to Calvert and went back to King George and said, what am I supposed to do with this Nova Scotia place? You can only live there about 3 months of the year. And do you have anything better for me? And for some reason, King George, who was married to a Catholic, Queen Anne, I believe, I'm not sure about that, but this is my rendition of the story. He says, okay, I'm going to give you Maryland. Well, that's his wife's name was Mary. What a tricky question that was. I don't know why I thought Queen Anne. So I'm getting this off the top of my head. So stay with me and do a Google search on everything I tell you. So Queen Mary, she was Catholic, and so she said, we're going to give this. And he says, I'm going to name it after the Queen, after Maryland, we're going to call it. And so he did, and Virginians, they came and he said, okay, George gave this to us. He split your colony in half. And they're like, well, I don't necessarily agree with this. And there was actually a little war between Calvert's men and the Virginia people who had the colony of Virginia down in around St. Margaret's, right there near the Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that the Calvert won, but King George made it an edict. No, you guys have to understand, this is now their land, period.
This is Maryland.
So shortly thereafter, Calvert dies, George Calvert dies, and his son, I don't even remember what his name was, but I'm not doing a very good job of this whole educational history lesson anyway. So anyway, Graham, we have about 45 seconds. Do you have anything to add?
You'd be really good at trivia. We should do that at the office.
We should. Obviously, I'm not very good at trivia because I can't even tell you what the name of the Queen of England was who gave Maryland.
Maryland.
That's pretty good. I like that. Anyway. I could be a history teacher as well as I could do this financial and history tips all at the same time.
You could.
What's next week? Do you remember what we've got coming up?
I don't remember next week. No.
Neither do I.
I don't.
I ought to look at that more often, think about, promoting it on the show before we go.
That's a great idea.
But we had a lot of great questions tonight. So
yeah, I think, we talked a lot about taxes. I was looking at some quotes today. And I don't know if you can believe it, Albert Einstein says, the hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax. Can you believe that?
Look, our rules change every day
that some
politician wakes up and decides to change them. The laws of physics don't change
very often.
Graham. You might find a new one, but they don't change. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Show them he wins.
feel things are gonna be much